Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, how the Zika virus may change public opinion on late-term abortions. Though apparently not Mike Pence's opinion or Marco Rubio's opinion, it's issue 19 in our 30 issues election series, The Presidential Race and Abortion Rights. Also today, do you wear a burkini? They won't kick you off the beach for it in the United States like they're doing in France. We'll take your calls on the issue and ask what other kinds of sports clothing you wear if you want to dress modestly. But first today, we've been having Mayor de Blasio as our first guest on Thursdays in August for our weekly Ask the Mayor segment, as many of you know. But he's on vacation this week, so instead we'll talk about two issues I would have asked the mayor about if he were here. The first one is, should your tax dollars subsidize developers who don't want to pay construction workers a living wage? Here's the scoop. The New York Times revealed this the other day. It's a way to revive the expired development law known as 421A that's supposed to make it easier to build more affordable housing. Subsidizing wages is reportedly part of Governor Cuomo's new plan to get 421A back, according to the Times. Here to further explain is Greg David, director of the Business and Economics Reporting Program at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. He's also a contributor to Crane's New York Business and the author of Modern New York, The Life and Economics of a City. Hi, Greg. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning.
So explain more about what Governor Cuomo is proposing with this new version of 421A as it's been reported.
Okay. Let me say first that when I called the governor's office, they said that this was one of many proposals and it was far too speculative to discuss. That being said, other people said this is a proposal that's moving forward, so it is worthy of scrutiny. So there are two parts to this proposal. 421A expired in January because the governor, at the behest of the construction unions, has said that he doesn't want to renew the tax break unless there's a requirement for union labor or high wages or something like that. This proposal would impose an average minimum wage of $65 an hour for projects in Manhattan south of 96th Street. No subsidy there. It would also impose an average minimum wage of $50 for rental buildings on the Queens and Brooklyn waterfronts, but the state would cover a third of the cost, or about $15, for those projects.
So in the piece you wrote for Cranes, you ask, why spend so much tax money to subsidize relatively high-paid workers?
Well, that's one of many questions that should be asked about this. Yes, I mean, look, if they did pay people $35 an hour, that would be $70,000 a year. That's a solid middle class or even a little better than that wage any way you look at it.
That's the unsubsidized wage.
Right. That if they required $35 an hour, people would still be making $70,000 or something close to that, which is a significant wage, right? We're not subsidizing people who are living in poverty here.
But a reader commented on your story saying construction is not a 52-week-a-year job. You don't always work 5 days a week or 52 weeks a year. If you make $35 an hour, but that contractor only has 100 hours of work for you, then you spend 2 weeks unemployed until you find a contractor that's willing to pay you $20 an hour for 200 hours of work, et cetera, et cetera. What do you say to that reader of yours?
Well, that's probably true. It's actually very controversial at the moment about whether you should do this, whether you should do the economics that way. Construction workers probably don't work 52 weeks a year, but the city's booming and they're working pretty close to it, I would say.
By the way, if I remember last year's 421A debate correctly, this is actually a point of contention between Mayor de Blasio and Governor Cuomo. Surprise, surprise. I think the mayor was willing to forfeit the idea of requiring developers to pay the higher prevailing wage or to require unionized development sites in pursuit of getting more affordable housing built more quickly. Is that your understanding?
You are exactly correct. Candidate de Blasio said he would require affordable housing to be built with union labor. Mayor de Blasio says no. Mayor de Blasio says that the 421A tax break is needed, and it's needed because of the city's lousy, unfair property tax system, which is excessively burdensome for rental properties. In return for getting the tax break, developers will be required to set aside somewhere between 25 and 35% of the units for affordable housing, and that's the public good. Union construction work is at least 20% and probably more than 30% more expensive. If you require it, you're either going to have to lower the number of affordable units you require or build less affordable housing. One, that's the economics fact of life. Two, that's the de Blasio administration's position, one of the few places I would say I'm in complete agreement with them on.
And one of the – well, I guess it reveals – just how much the mayor is committed to building a lot of affordable housing. He's making other kinds of compromises that are leaving some communities unhappy. We saw what just happened in Washington Heights last week and the controversies in East New York and et cetera. And he is willing to compromise what he might have previously called his principles on unionization to see that more affordable housing gets built. That's a you know, political trade-off that the mayor has staked his mayoralty on as something that's really, really important, and that is affordable housing. So he's willing to make compromises like that. And I guess what the governor is reportedly looking at here is a way to split the difference so that the additional affordable housing that the mayor wants gets built, but he still supports the unions, so subsidize even the non-union workers with the union wage and have the rest of the taxpayers of New York do that.
Well, I think you were precisely right on the first part and precisely wrong on the second part.
Okay.
And the reason for that is I don't think the governor wants affordable housing built in New York. He doesn't want anything to benefit the mayor. This whole thing is inexplicable except for the governor's obsession, political drive, or whatever you want to call it, to limit the success of the mayor. It doesn't make any sense. The other thing is there is a political imperative for the governor, and that is that at one point it appeared that he was vulnerable to a challenge from the progressive wing of the Democratic Party in the state.
Right.
But the $15 minimum wage, the paid leave bill he passed, and the fact that he's done so much lately for the private sector unions has really diminished, if not eliminated, the possibility of that.
By the way, I wonder if we have any construction workers listening, union or non-union, who want to weigh in on this. Is this something that you can argue to the rest of the taxpayers of New York State is good use of tax dollars, that is, to subsidize construction worker wages from about $35 to about $50 an hour, as the governor, if not proposing, is at least considering as a way to get this developer subsidy in pursuit of more affordable housing back on the books? 212-433-WNYC or anyone else who wants to react. But I'd love to hear from some construction workers or union leaders or developers, for that matter, on this. Developers, you know, conservatives may not like this because they see it as subsidizing union work. Liberals might not like this because they see it as subsidizing developers to pay substandard wages and have the taxpayers cover the rest for them. So what make developers, seriously, call up, make your case. Construction workers, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Greg David from Cranes and the CUNY Journalism School. Did you want to frame what I was just saying?
Well, I wanted to add a couple of things. First of all, as far as we know, there's no requirement they use union workers.
Right. It's just about the wage, not the union,
and
right?
You know, developers say that it's the wages are a problem, the benefits are a bigger problem, and the work rules are an equally bad problem. Unless there's a provision we don't know about, they're not going to hire union labor. They're going to raise the wages of non-union labor. Secondly, it's even worse than the way you framed it. We are going to provide a direct subsidy for a specific small number of construction workers in a certain kind of project, a rental building receiving a tax break, in a specific geographic area in two boroughs.
Right. Oh.
You know, there's no Is there a precedent for this?
Right. And
can
that's...
you tell me any program like this? And so far, the answer's been no. And when I put that question to the governor's office, I did not get a responsive answer.
It's the Brooklyn waterfront and the Queens waterfront. Those are the two neighborhoods, right?
Right. As far as we know.
As far as the Times reported it, which is, I guess, what we know about what's being considered, which actually makes me scratch my head even more, Greg, because those neighborhoods are so desirable for developers right now that you would think that's exactly where you don't need a government subsidy to make those developments happen.
It's not the kind. Look, I support a lot of government subsidies over time, but not this one. This one doesn't make any sense. And a lot of people think that it's way too complicated and that this proposal is not going to fly. So we'll just have to see.
Charlie in Westchester, a contractor. Hi, Charlie. You're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I hear the numbers that you're asking or you're throwing around about wages for workers. And my immediate reaction is all of this doesn't go into his pocket. Depending on how it's broken down.
Into the worker's pocket?
Into the worker's pocket. Part of it may go toward his retirement. Part of it may go toward disability and other insurances. And also, if there's a contractor involved, he charges overhead and profit in the labor hour that he asserts to a worker. So when you say that $65 an hour all goes to him and he makes $150,000 a year, I don't think that's accurate.
Greg?
Well, the number does include benefits, but we think a lot of non-union contractors don't pay benefits. So, we don't know how it's going to work out. But remember, this is the average wage that they would pay. So, you know, the people operating the cranes are going to get their $200,000 or $300,000 a year, and that's going to drive the number up. But you know, one of the things that I have been particularly unhappy in trying to write about this issue is that we do not know what non-union construction workers in New York make.
Mm-hmm.
No one has delved into what is it, because it matters. It matters if they're getting $15 an hour, which would be clearly too low for this kind of work. It matters if they're getting $35 an hour. But it's been on neither side, neither the real estate board and its ally side nor the unions, shows any interest in going out and finding this number, which I think is crucial for deciding the appropriate public policy here.
Interesting. Charlie, thank you very much. Why don't they just require that the sites be union, which is what the unions were asking for in the first place? Because it's not just wages, as I'm sure you know, that are different for workers on union construction sites. It's also safety, the ability to push back at the developers, the site managers, you know, for safety on the job standards. We had the buildings commissioner in here the other day, and, we were talking about findings that our newsroom did last year about how there seemed to be more accidents on non-union construction sites than union construction sites. So if you really want to get down to what the issues are for construction workers, unionization per se would seem to be a more sweeping way to help them than just saying pump up the wage.
So first of all, it's about 30% more expensive. Secondly, the reason the unions are targeting affordable housing is that they've lost so many markets. You know, so they're building all these hotels around the CUNY J School in Times Square.
Uh-huh.
They're all being built non-union in the middle of Midtown.
Why?
Because it's because the non-union construction firms have gotten more sophisticated, and because the 30% cost differential matters a lot. So even, you know, the reason the unions were pushing so hard is they've lost so much market share in the city. It's fundamentally they're going to try to use government to reclaim a section of the market that, for the most part, they have no work in. The vast majority of affordable housing in New York is built by non-union contractors.
Robert in Vernon Township, New Jersey, wants to add to this conversation. Hi, Robert.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I worked for a consulting firm on construction sites in the city up until about 2 years ago. I've worked on both union and non-union jobs and prevailing wage jobs. I've been all over the place. I've found from experience that typically workers that are on non-union jobs, very many of them are undocumented aliens. Very many of them are paid between $8 and $15 an hour. If you get a good non-union plumber, he might make $20 an hour on a good day. But I've found people paying $8 an hour. I've seen horrendous labor law violations, people working 15, 14, 15 hours a day and not getting paid overtime rates, which is totally illegal. I just thought that that might help answer the gentleman's question.
From your observation, you know what some non-union construction workers are getting paid.
Yeah, I would say most of the jobs I've been on, those are the kind of wages. I mean, I've seen some, you know, skilled trades, $15, but that's sometimes a rarity.
Robert, thank you very much. Any reaction, Greg?
Well, I would like to know the answer, too, and how extensive it is. Now, here's what we do know. We do know that a group of non-union contractors, Flintlock is a pretty good example of this, have emerged as much more viable companies. Some of the non-union companies are offering benefits these days. They've gotten more sophisticated. So I think there are big non-union contractors who are paying more and abiding by the rules. But it's also true that a lot of small construction being done is probably being done like that, yes.
Why, before you go, would any contractor or developer use union labor if they can get away with using non-union labor and saving what you estimated is a third of the labor cost, if apparently there's no requirement for it in the city?
Well, I think there is the pressure from the unions and their ability to demonstrate and shut down sites. But that ability is – that cloud is waning rapidly. So what you have is that office towers in Midtown are still being built union and a few other projects. But even union developers that historically use union labor, like Related, here's a good example, continue to be very unhappy and looking for ways to cut the costs.
Greg David, Director of the Business and Economics Reporting Program at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and columnist for Crain's New York Business. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.